Hey there. Thank you for joining us once again at the Hot Take Podcast for our 33rd episode. On today's show, we discuss top stories, hot takes, and our picks for Beasts of the Week. Hope you guys enjoy.
And welcome back to Hot Take, where I, along with my co-host Nat and Lawrence, give you our hottest takes on all things NBA. But today, Lawrence is unable to join us. He's doing grown man things, so you're going to have the OG squad, me and Nat. Nat, how you doing, bro? How's everything?
I'm doing good. Everything is good. I'm currently hungry, but that is besides the point. I'm going to suffer in silence and, you know, just podcast with you like we usually do. You know what I'm saying? How about you? How's everything?
Everything's good. You know why? Because basketball has been so awesome the last week or so.
Has it though?
I just kind of...
Actually, it has.
I want to start off the show like this. Like, you know me, I'm a big history guy. I love the history of certain things. And today, I don't know if you know, but today marks our 33rd episode. So it got me thinking, like, who are some famous players to rock the number 33? Best players to ever do it. Jersey number 33. Yes. Some are superstars. First one being Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, the one-time Milwaukee Buck who then became a Laker. Then you also have Larry Legend, a.k.a. Larry Bird, doing it for Boston Celtics.
Yep.
You have the all-star, the only all-star to ever play alongside Michael Jordan.
Well, what?
Scottie Pippen.
Superstar. Shout out to Scottie Pippen. Yes. Yes.
I don't know what kind of definition of superstar you have, but I digress. And, you know, in honor of Lawrence, since Lawrence is not here, you know, we'll go ahead, we'll shout out to all the Knicks fans, the Knicks faithful. Patrick Ewing also rocked number 33. So that's in honor of our 33rd episode, giving recognition to the greats that have done it. You know, I speaking of greats, I feel like this has been one of the great March Madnesses. I don't know if this is recency bias or, you know, whatever the case is, because we didn't have March Madness last year. But I feel like this has probably been one of the good ones, one of the better ones in recent memory. So I wanted to get your take. How'd you feel about March Madness 2021?
So I didn't really watch all of the tournament. I only witnessed the championship games for the men's and women's. My comments towards those games were Gonzaga was fully destroyed. I mean, Baylor was just the better, stronger team. That defense was impeccable. They were making their threes early in the game. I mean, Gonzaga just had no chance. They were lost. Kind of felt like they were playing, you know, the Warriors, in a sense. They were that bad. They were like the Golden State Warriors without Steph Curry bad, you know. Poor Zags. But go Baylor. And then with the women's game, Ari McDonald, you know, showed up. But the last possession, though, man, if only she like made a few more passes, maybe got the ball back or just didn't ISO. Maybe she would have had a different look, better look. Who knows? But congrats to Stanford anyways. But yeah, Gonzaga was terrible. Stanford made it out just in time. But overall, good games. I did miss the UCLA versus Gonzaga game with Jalen Suggs' game winner. That was crazy. Had social media just blow up over that whole thing. But other than that, it was pretty cool.
You know, I'll start with that one, actually, because that game by far was better than the championship game. You know, when UCLA made the game time bucket in overtime and they inbounded Jalen Suggs and he brought it past half court, I was like, if he pulls up, he's making it. I knew it. I knew it the moment it left his hands that he was going in. I promise. You knew it, huh? I don't know what it was, but I'm telling you, I'm sitting there and I'm watching it. I'm like, this is going in. And sure enough, it went in. I was like, yo, this is wild. Like, you know, I feel like every tournament has at least one crazy game winner. And it just so happened that Gonzaga kind of wasted it on the Final Four game. you know, mm-hmm. as opposed to the actual title game. Shout out to Baylor. A lot of people had them favored. I think they were just the more overpowering, more dominating team. There's talks that they trained with the Baylor football team. You know what I mean? So those guys were are no joke. Big bodies. And they played extremely physical, I felt like. And they just kind of, from the get-go, they set the pace, the standard for the game.
Yep.
And I think they were in complete control the entire time. One of the things that I was a little bit sad about was somebody that I grew to appreciate and have a lot of respect for. And that's Drew Timmy from Gonzaga. Mm-hmm. He shot well. He had 12 points. I think he shot something like 5 for 7 or 7 for 9, something like that. I was like, he should have got the ball more. Let him do his thing. You know, let him pass out of double teams. Let him pound down low. Granted, you know, Baylor was just bigger. So I don't know what could have, how much different he could have played. But definitely a lackluster title game compared to what the Final Four was like. For the women's side, you know, I was intrigued by the women's side even prior to the start of March Madness, because I am a big UConn fan and I've been following Paige Beckers probably since high school, you know, like on Overtime and like House of Highlights. Like she shows up on, you know, her high school highlights are on there. So that's when I first saw her. And UConn always just has this history of recruiting really good, talented players that make it to the WNBA and are just well-rounded all-around ballers. And I was hoping so much for UConn to... Before I continue, I also just wanted to say it was such a shame that Gonzaga couldn't complete the perfect season. You know, I feel like in my lifetime, I've never seen a perfect, you know, NCAA season, and I want to witness one. And that was the closest I'll probably get, but we'll see what happens in the future. Anyway, back to women's basketball. I was just really pushing for UConn. I like how they play. I like the talent they have, the intensity that they play with. But, of course, I feel like one of the bigger headlines that stood out to me was the disparity between women's basketball and men's basketball prior to the tournament starting. Like, I'm sure you saw the weight room, the food, the goodie bags, and it was just, like, mind-boggling. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, these women, like, they're out there hooping just as hard as the guys are. And I'm not going to lie. Like, there's some games where I felt like, especially, like, the title game, I thought the title game was way more interesting than the men's title game. You know, the Final Four was just as exciting.
A lot closer.
You had that controversy. You know, for example, between, I believe it was, even in the Elite Eight, you know, you have UConn and Baylor. And there's like that controversial no call. And UConn goes on to the Final Four. And then, you know, UConn gets handled by who you mentioned earlier, you know, Ari McDonald. She did her thing. She was hooping. And I agree with you. I think in that last possession, she had somebody wide open on the weak side corner that could have hit that three, that open jump shot. But I will give her utmost respect because I think she has the mentality of, I'm going to win this. And so I wasn't mad with the shot, even though it was technically not a high percentage shot. She had the confidence to be like, I'm gaming this. Like, this is on me. But unfortunately, you know, it didn't work out. Shout out to Stanford. You know, they did their things. The Lady Cardinals. Overall, I thought March Madness this year was awesome. We'll actually touch on March Madness again later on in the episode. As we continue on with top stories, moving on now to the NBA. Wild and wacky stuff happened over the course of a week. For example, you know, the scare in the air for the Utah Jazz.
Oh.
Did you see that?
Yes. Rest in peace to those birds.
Yeah. So for people who don't know, the Jazz, you know, their jet, as they were taking off, hit a flock of birds, caused some damage to one of the engines. They had to do an emergency landing. And by all accounts, it was extremely terrifying for a lot of the players. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't know what was going to happen. And my question to you is, have you ever experienced anything like that? Any scare in the air, so to speak?
I personally have not. And nor do I want to ever be part of that. I think it was Jordan Clarkson who talked about his feelings, you know, as you know, the thing went down. And it's scary, like kind of like just thinking about like, you know, what might happen at the end of that, you know, after the birds hit the engine and the malfunction starts to happen, like you kind of think like, is this really it? You know, and that's what he kind of said in his interview as well. But overall, just scary stuff.
I'm going to share a quick story, a little bit more history, but this one's personal. I've actually had to, man, one of the scariest flights I've ever been on was we were going on vacation from Japan to the Philippines. At the time I was living in Japan, we went to go see relatives in the Philippines and terrible weather coming in, cloudy, rain, visibility was almost none. So the pilot gets on, he says that they have to kind of taxi in the air, it's probably like 30 minutes, you know, before they can land because they have to wait for things to clear up. So we're kind of just flying around and all of a sudden, you know, you kind of feel us descending. He tells us we're going to descend. So we start to descend. You feel it. And then I kid you not, all of a sudden we shot straight up. Not even like a gradual straight up. Like I'm talking like complete vertical, like straight up. The airplane was shaking. Lights were flickering. There was a group of like a Catholic school that was on board. And they had their hands up in the air. They're like, woo. You know, like it was a roller coaster. Meanwhile, like I'm holding onto my chest for dear life. Like, what the hell is going on? Like, verge of tears.
Bruh.
And the airplane is just shaking. We're going up. I'm like, what the hell is going on? I'm only like maybe like 13, 14. You know, I don't know what the heck is going on. And it turns out, as we were landing, there was a plane that was taking off. So there was a miscommunication with control tower.
Oh, wow.
So as we were landing, they were taking off. We had to pull up. Otherwise, yeah, we would have crashed midair. Oh, my gosh. When I heard that,
that's crazy.
God is too good,
man.
God is too good.
He really is.
I kind of have a little bit of an experience of how frightening it is to be that high up in the air. And you just feel helpless. You can't do anything. There's nothing you can do. Petrifying.
Right.
Absolutely petrifying. Another kind of a scary thing that's been happening this past week. It's been a week comprised of nothing but blowouts. I feel like almost every single game is by double digits or more. Have you noticed that?
I have. It's weird. Weird. Like, I feel like any team can just beat any other team. It's insane.
That's actually what I kind of wanted to get into. And like, of course, you know, the most recent one is the Golden State Warriors. Golden State Warriors, they beat the record, you know, earlier in the season. The Clippers, they lost by 50. Then Miami lost by 47. The Golden State Warriors almost lose by 60. They were down like 63 at one point.
Yeah.
You know, and then like throughout this whole week, it's been nothing but blowouts. There might have been like one or two close games. Every game has been over 100, with the exception of one game that I saw where both teams were under 100. And that was Miami versus Indy. And Miami won 92-87. It looked like the final score to like a 1990s game. Like it was ugly. That was an ugly game. But, you know, you said it. Like, it's kind of weird. So I wanted to, like, why is it common this year to see blowouts left and right? Like, well, let me ask you what your takes are on why you think that might be.
It might be the compressed schedule, I think. Like, teams might be playing, like, a lot of games within a certain amount of days, and they just kind of, like, give up on certain games or, like, the game after they play this one game where they won, maybe they want to just take it easy and kind of, you know, and especially with the Warriors in that case with Steph, you know, like he's out for injuries, and injuries are a lot more common now with the rush schedule. You know, players want time to recover, to rehabilitate properly. So like, you know, injuries are a lot more frequent now. And then when you sit those players out who are your, you know, best player or two best players, you're going to lose games by a lot, you know, by a big margin. Especially the Warriors, who have, you know, nobody on their team. So I mean, it's crazy. I attribute all of that to possibly the schedule or injuries.
I agree. I think one of the main issues has been the compressed schedule, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about how it's been a weird year with the COVID, and you know, the season ending so late, then starting up again so early on limited rest. You're compressing everything into a 72-game schedule. And I feel like it's – for example, there was a point in time when Miami had a 6-game West Coast swing, and they played something like 4 games in 7 nights.
It's a lot.
I don't know about you, but like in a day, like let's say we had a day of like pickup basketball. Let's say like you and me, Lawrence, and a couple of the other guys, we were like, hey, let's go hoop on Saturday. We'll hoop, you know, at 1 o'clock. We could probably hoop for like a solid 3-4 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but you know, now that I'm getting older, I'm going to feel it the next day.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Now, imagine doing that. 4 games, you know, back to back, back to back to back.
Days rest, yeah. It's rough.
Meanwhile, you're traveling. Imagine taking, you know, 2-hour flight here, 6-hour flight there. That's got to be hard. It's got to be real hard.
I do love the play-in game, like, aspect of the schedule, though. I think that's just a good, like, rush of adrenaline before the playoffs start, the play-in tournament. I think that's the one beauty of a compressed schedule.
You know, I'm glad you bring that up because that can actually segue into our hot takes, right? Because along with, you know, blowouts, compressed schedule, one of the other things that comes up is, like you mentioned, injuries. Mm-hmm. And there have been big names with big injuries. Right now, KD and James Harden are both out for the Brooklyn Nets.
Yep.
I'm sure they'll be fine. You know what I mean? But there's other teams where it's a major issue. And these teams are not necessarily shoe-ins for a playoff spot, but like what you mentioned, they might be in play for a play-in spot. Yeah. And I hate to do this to you, Nat. I say see it. The pain on your face.
Say it. It's okay.
One of these teams is the LA Lakers because AD is still currently out fifth. With that.
They're currently fifth. That's all right. That's all right.
They're
currently fifth.
Yeah, they're only fifth, right? But you have AD who is still out. You have LeBron James who is still out. They have a tough schedule coming up. Drummond is now out with the big toe injury. So they could very easily, you know, with the strength of the West, we know how strong the West is.
Mm-hmm.
And we know with the, you know, after the fifth seed, anybody, it's up for grabs.
Question for you.
And
if AD comes back this week, does your mindset still stay the same about Lakers being in the play-in?
No.
Okay. Okay.
But here's my question to you. Would you rather have an 85% healthy Anthony Davis right now and make the playoffs for sure, or let AD, LeBron James, Drummond fully heal and you play in a play-in spot?
Well, it's funny because I'm very biased. I want to see AD return ASAP because I'm going to see them on Saturday. So I want him to return as soon as possible so I get my money's worth.
For personal gain.
Exactly, personal gain. Yeah. But like just by pure logic and pure sense, obviously a fully healthy trio, you know, before the playoffs start, however long that takes. So,
because if you look at it, right, let's just say the Lakers play it safe. They make it to, you know, the 10th or 9th seed.
You think it's that low? Seed.
I'm just saying, you know, just playing devil's advocate here.
Okay.
And, you know, in the first round, imagine having, you know, the Utah Jazz having to face a fully healthy LA Lakers. That would be one of the bigger upsets in, like, playoff history. You have a one seed losing to somebody that was in a play-in game. You know what I mean? I don't think anybody would want to see the Lakers in a play-in game. Nobody.
I don't think they want to see them anytime in the playoffs, period.
Especially if they're fully healthy. If they're fully healthy. Speaking of your Lakers, I don't know if you saw earlier today, but your boy Montrez got ejected.
Bro, Trez rides for his boys, all right? That's respect right there. That is, I appreciate that.
Since we're on the topic of the Lakers, let me get your take. Do you think, was Dennis Schroeder, like, out of line for that?
See, I watched it before we started recording, and I don't know. Like, OG kind of just picks him up, and then I guess Schroeder just kind of, like, commits and just falls. Like, he kind of just, I guess, like, acts, so to speak. Like, because OG has his arm around his leg. And then goes up, and then Schroeder just kind of falls down like that. But I don't know. I guess, you know, there are times where Schroeder can get a little chippy slash like a little physical. And then, you know, I don't know. I guess Trez just saw like friction, and then he just immediately just like comes through and just tries to go, you know, protect his boy. So, I mean, Trez was right for that. I support it.
It was weird for me because, okay, Dennis wrapped him up. I understand that. You could argue that as a flagrant one, and I think Dennis would be okay with that. But what transpired after, I don't think he wanted OG to fall, so he was trying to carry him so that he wouldn't hurt himself further. That's how it looked to me.
Yeah.
And so Dennis was going to let him down, and as he was letting him down, that's when OG picked him up, and Dennis, you know, fell on his back. So I think Dennis got upset because he was like, yo, I was trying to help you, but right. not, you know, so you wouldn't injure yourself further. And then that's when the whole thing, you know, Trez shoves Gary Trent, and then, you know, everything goes on
but
from there.
Wait. But for real, do you think that OG would have a bad bone in his body to try to, you know, create something with a shooter? He's like a nice, passive guy. I don't think it was like ill intent. What do you think?
Well, see, I think like for me, right, I think it was just a miscommunication.
Definitely was, right? Yeah.
I think OG thought like Dennis was trying to like sun him, you know, like, oh, I can carry you. So he took it the wrong way and then like flipped him back. And yeah. like, I experienced this on the court like many, many times. But for example, right, there's one time I got hacked from behind. Mm-hmm. Somebody hit my mouth, cut my lip open.
Oh, wow.
So I'm sitting there and my lip started bleeding, but the person was trying to apologize to me and they wrapped me up from behind, like to hug me from behind. Like, yo, my bad, you know, like that. But mm-hmm. at the same time, I was trying to bring my hands up to cover my mouth because I'm bleeding.
Yeah.
But the person took it as I'm trying to get them off me, like, yo, don't touch me. And I like threw them off of me. So they got mad at me and then they pushed me again and like cursed me. Yeah. Like, I was just trying to make sure you're okay. You know, like, why you gotta be like that?
And yeah.
I'm like, bro, I was covering my mouth. Like I'm gushing blood from my lip. Like, I wasn't trying to do anything disrespectful. I'm
not trying to be mean. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where it's miscommunication on the court. Nevertheless, I don't think Trez should have got ejected for it. I feel like that was kind of,
nah.
You know, he's standing up for his boy. It's a little altercated. He didn't take a swing at anybody.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. You know, aside from the Lakers, you know, getting back on track and then potentially being in a play-in spot, another team that if things don't start to turn around, they have a star injured. The New York Knicks, Mitchell Robinson, their big man. Of course, they have depth to you know, kind of cover for him, but he was a big mm-hmm. part of them defensively. The things he could do offensively. Yeah. They very well could be in a play-in, you know, situation as well, you know, with this injury to Mitchell Robinson.
I know, I see it.
Lawrence, you see it. I don't think it'll happen. I can see them making like a solid eighth.
They're losing games right now.
They are. But I feel like, you know, I feel like it's one of those things where you can't ride the losing streaks. You can't ride the winning streaks. They'll figure it out. They'll be fine. They got good coaching. Players that are bought into the system, I think they'll be all right. Another one would be another one of your teams, the Tampa Bay Raptors.
Toronto Raptors, you mean.
They could potentially be in the playing spot, but
bruh, they have a ton of injuries too. They will. Don't worry.
How are they going to do it without Kyle Lowry? How are they going to do it without Fred VanVleet? All of them are injured.
Bro, Gary Trent Jr. and Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby. That's all you need, bro. That's all you need for the play-in tournament. Don't worry. We're good. We're going to make it. Nick Nurse wants to make the playoffs. We're going to make it. If Nick says it, then it's valid.
I just feel, I don't know. The East is getting competitive, man. The East is getting competitive.
Who's in that playing spot? Like,
for example,
right now. Who's in that?
Okay, so right now we have Chicago at the 10th. We have Indy at the 9th. I don't see Toronto catching Indy. They might catch the Bulls, but the Bulls they're coming up.
They're coming up.
You know, their pieces are starting to fit together now.
Indy will fall. Don't worry. Indy will fall. It's fine.
And see, like going back to your Lakers, like, I mean, you have, you know, Portland is right there. Dallas is right there. Memphis is right there. And then you have San Antonio and Golden State, you know, in that play-in spot.
Golden State's going to lose. It's fine. San Antonio, maybe. Memphis, I don't think so. Hot takes.
So you think the Pelicans are going to take that final spot from the Warriors?
I want them to because they're a much better team. I think it'll be, you know, much better tournament if they're part of it, not the Warriors. The Warriors should just tank. That's what I've been saying this whole time. They should just tank.
Man.
I'm a hater. I'm sorry. I'm a Steph hater. I'm sorry.
It's definitely showing. Sipping on that haterade over there.
Tastes good.
Oh, man. One of the other things that, you know, I wanted to do for hot takes, but we're actually going to save it for next week. So stay tuned for next week's episode, because I know Lawrence wanted to be a part of it. We were going to cover Space Jam.
Save that.
So we'll get into Space Jam a little bit.
Looks good.
I have my, you know me. I'm gonna. Oh man, we'll save it.
We'll
for
save
next
it.
Week.
We'll save it. Yeah. Save it.
We'll save it for next week.
July 16th.
One of
baby.
The other things I wanted to get into right before we wrap up. One of the biggest things we talked about in last week's episode were buyouts, and of course, the biggest names were Drummond, Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge, and I just kind of wanted to touch up on it again because I don't know about you. I don't know about, you know, other people. Other
you were listeners. Wrong.
In what regards was I wrong?
About LaMarcus Aldridge. That dude is somehow revitalized. He is brand new. He is doing wonders for the Nets as their starting center. So we should apologize right now. You thought he'll be washed. In reality, well, I mean, you know, it's a couple games. But from what we're seeing right now, he's pretty good for that team. What do you think?
Let me give you my theory.
Oh, God. Okay. Here's historian here. Historian coming through right now.
When Miami traded away Shaquille O'Neal to the Phoenix Suns, Shaquille O'Neal promised the Phoenix natives that he was going to be a better version of himself, more physically fit, more active. And the first few games of that season, he was diving for all the loose balls. He was going after all the rebounds. But there comes a certain point in time when you reach a certain age, being at that size, where your body just can't do the things it wants to anymore. And from what I recall, I feel like Shaq and Phoenix, the big Shaqtus, I feel that's when you started to really see the decline of Shaquille O'Neal, right? But when Phoenix got out of him, there was still some gas in the tank. He still had something.
Right.
You have, and mind you, that was a trade. So he had trade value. LaMarcus Aldridge has a dominant career in Portland. Then he gets traded because he has value to the San Antonio Spurs. Then the Brooklyn Nets pick him up, not through trade, but by means of a buyout. Mm-hmm. Historically, players who join other teams via a buyout tend not to last much longer in the league. Not just for the team, but in the league.
I believe it.
Here's my reason for why I think LaMarcus is doing so well. And it's much like what Shaq did when he first got to Phoenix. Same with Blake Griffin, because everybody was saying Blake is washed up. You know, he can't dunk. He hasn't dunked in 2 years. His first few games with the Nets, all of a sudden he's catching IOU. He's like dunking. It's nothing. Right? My theory is Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge. Again, I'm not hating. I'm just based on what I know, based on what I see. I have almost respect for them. I love them. I wish they could play in Miami. You know how I am. I see them as like Heat culture guys. They would fit in, you know, but that's besides the case, besides the point rather. And I feel like right now, prior to Blake Griffin joining the Nets, everybody was all like, he's washed up. He can't do it. He has nothing left. People said the same thing about LaMarcus. He can't do it. He's washed up. He's not going to contribute. You know, what is he going to contribute to a team? So in their mentality, it's like, I'm going to prove all these people wrong. So their first few games, Blake Griffin is grabbing lobs. He's throwing down lobs. You know, he's doing everything that the team needs him to do. LaMarcus Aldridge is hitting corner threes. He's posting up and hitting fadeaways like he used to when he was in Portland and, you know, doing all these things. My question is, how long is that sustainable for? Will they do that for the remainder of the year? Will they do that through the course of a grueling playoff? Because they are getting up there in age. Because it is a more intense schedule. Because you are playing more back-to-backs and fewer nights and the whole nine yards on an older body, on a bigger body. You come playoff time, how much of that is going to be reliable? How much of that is going to be, you know, heavily relied upon? And I don't think it's going to be much come playoff time.
All right, let me respond. First off, you're missing one big factor, and it's who they're surrounded with. they're surrounded with Kyrie, James Harden, KD, Joe Harris, Jeff Green, Claxton, and you know, Cabarro and Shamit. So, I mean, when you look at Aldridge on the Spurs, it was just him, DeRozan, Murray, you know, not many pieces. Look at Blake, it was Jeremy Grant, you know, and I can't name anyone else on the Pistons, but Jeremy Grant. They were kind of resorted as a second or third option. But here they're like the eighth or ninth option on the team. And they're surrounded by people who can create, who can help, you know, relieve that pressure off, give it to Kyrie, give it to James to score, give it to KD even when he's back. But like, I'm telling you, it's just the pieces that they're around. Like, they're in an environment where they can succeed, environment where they can just score easily. And like, there's no pressure on them to make a big dent in the game.
Here's my response to that, because I feel like that is actually going to hurt them. And I say that because, just like what you said, look at the pieces around them. There's no pressure on Blake Griffin. There's no pressure on LaMarcus Aldridge to perform at a high level, because you know what? I can sit back. These guys are doing their things. I can coast to a ring.
Oh, Lord.
Right? Now, let's say, for example, you take LaMarcus Aldridge and you put him in Miami. Let's say he decided to sign with Miami. Miami would utilize him to the fullest. They would get everything out of him that they could so that he would be ready for playoff time. Right now, Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge, yes, they're starting games here and there, but that's in place of injured players. Prior to them getting there, you had Bruce Brown, you had Nick Claxton, right? You had Claxton there. These guys were contributing and performing at an extremely high level because the Nets needed them to. They didn't have depth. They didn't have big men that could play valuable minutes, meaningful minutes. Now you have Blake and you have LaMarcus Aldridge there. Now the mindset is, you know, for these young guys, like, they're taking my minutes. You know, like, it's almost like, why should I go above and beyond if I'm not getting the minutes? I'm not saying that's their mentality. I'm just saying, like, that could happen. On the flip side, for LaMarcus and Blake, you know, hey, there's no pressure on me. I just got to do whatever, you know, the little things. That's all that's needed. But what happens if at the end of the season or the beginning of the playoffs, Claxton gets injured, you know, knock on wood, or Brown gets injured, knock on wood, whatever the case is. And then all of a sudden, you got to rely on Blake Griffin. You got to rely on LaMarcus Aldridge to give you heavy playoff minutes. Will they be able to do it? Will they be able to sustain it? I don't know if the answer is yes completely. I don't know if it's a guarantee, because we haven't seen it. We haven't seen
it. Well, with age, it's hard. Yeah, right.
Exactly. So that's my only concern. That's my only thing with – but that's my theory on, you know, I always say it. There's no doubt in my mind, yes, the Nets can make it to the finals. But is it going to be – are they a shoo-in? Is it guaranteed? I don't think so. Because now you're going into the playoffs. Let's say, I don't think so. Because, for example,
just look at this team. They can't lose.
Look at the Milwaukee Bucks. Look at the Milwaukee Bucks, for example.
Oh, my gosh. That's the
third. They're third in the East. Third. Who's going to guard Giannis?
Honestly, nobody on any team can guard Giannis. That dude's a monster truck. Oh, Lord. He's still too small.
Tell me not.
But he's too small.
Did you not see what they did to Giannis last year?
No, I didn't see him in his face.
Andre got him in his face. They stripped him. They formed that wall. They stopped him.
Easy. Yo, Claxton got it. Easy. Claxton, maybe Jeff Green if he could. He's a little old, but Claxton got it though. Yo, don't sleep on Claxton, bro. I'm telling you, that guy's a monster too.
Let me just clarify. You're saying that Claxton can play and defend on the same level as the All-Star Bam Adebayo?
Oh no! I'm saying I'm saying Nets versus Bucks in some kind of playoff, you know, matchup. Yeah, I would put Claxton on Giannis, or maybe even Blake if Blake's like fully healthy, like, and actually like his knees are okay.
Blake could probably give you like spurts of like minutes here and there throughout the course of a game, but to guard him straight up one-on-one throughout the course of a series, I don't know, man.
Also just build a wall in the playoffs. You got it. You know, no worries.
Okay, so here's my next question. let's say the Nets face the Sixers. Who's going to guard Joel Embiid?
Easy. Claxton. Oh. See, I don't know, because I'm thinking, right? And you're right. Like, there's no plausible center on the Nets that can guard either Giannis or Joel Embiid, right? But I just feel like there's something about, you know, even if they're small, Kevin Durant, Jeff Green, or Claxton or Aldridge, I just feel like they'll be good enough. But obviously, like, you know, when it comes to Joel Embiid and Giannis, like, they're just too good, like, for anybody. Like, they're kind of like on an unguardable level. Like, not like Kyrie, but like, in a sense, they're kind of unguardable. So no matter who you put on them, it's just hard for, you know, just do your best. That's all we can really hope for. Just do your best in containing them. You can't help it. Like, I'll they're just unstoppable, you know? That's all I'm saying.
I'll give you that. But see, like, my point is, though, is like, that's where I'm asking, you know, can Blake Griffin, can LaMarcus Aldridge give you considerable, valuable, meaningful minutes in situations like that?
See, but that's only if, like, their main options are injured or not available. Like, I'm sure you'd play Jeff Green over both of them. Or you'd play Claxton over both of them, you know, just because he's young and agile.
See, that's the other issue then, because, of course, going into the playoffs, everybody knows when you reach the playoffs, everybody has a 15-man roster. Throughout the course of the season, you're using about 12 players. But come playoff time, you're using a solid 8 to 9 guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let's say you use other players in place of Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge. And like you mentioned, if, you know, one of those 8 or 9 guys gets injured, now you're going to have Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge coming in cold trying to fill those meaningful minutes. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not.
Yeah.
I feel like it's not sustainable. Like, I think
we have to wait. We have to wait till their first playoff, you know, series against the Celtics. You know, we got to just see when that happens. I'm just kidding. I mean, they're the 8 seed right now. It's looking like that right now. They're the 8 seed. So we'll see what happens.
Well, actually, right now, the Knicks are in the eighth spot.
Oh, they are? Okay, it changed. My bad.
Yeah, they are. But
that's crazy, though. Imagine. Ooh, Nets versus Knicks in the first round. My goodness, that'd be awesome.
That would be Battle of New York.
Oh, that'd be down for crazy, that. Bro. Oh, I'd be down for that, too. I'd be
down for that. I got Knicks in 6.
Oh, my God. What?
Yeah.
What kind of thinking is that?
Who's going to guard Mitchell Robinson? Who's going to guard New Orleans Noel?
Again. Claxton, bro, come on.
Who's gonna guard Alfred Payton?
Alfred, bro, put Curry on him. Still guard Alfred Payton, bro.
Oh man, I'm just messing.
It's crazy because the Knicks can't even beat the Nets in any of their 4 or 3 games in this whole season. Like,
I'm glad crazy. You brought it's, that it's up always close. That's actually something I wanted to talk about. Yeah,
yeah.
The last game, last night's Monday. Game, I think it was.
Yeah,
Monday,
yeah, yeah.
Monday night. Yeah, last night's game. Tell me not. I feel like up until a certain point, the Knicks had it. Like, they were up.
They just couldn't make shots. They couldn't make shots.
Yeah.
Late in the game, yep.
And then
Kyrie with that clutch three. Oh, man. You can't defend that. The one that looked like he did
from 2016.
You can't defend that. I'm telling you. This is why this team is so iconic. This team is guaranteed the finals because you just can't defend some of them. They just score just better than the other team. My goodness.
Okay, so if you say the Nets are guaranteed for the finals,
yes.
Who are they facing?
My Lakers. It's no question. Who else? Like, who else would you place your faith in to make the finals in the West besides LA Lakers?
You don't think the Jazz have the chance to do it, to pull it off?
I don't know, because I'm not sure about Rudy Gobert. Like I think, I don't know. I just don't think he's like built for clutch moments like that. Mitchell, yeah, for sure. Jordan Clarkson, yeah, but I don't know about Rudy. He might be a liability like towards the end of the game.
What do you think about Phoenix Suns?
Aiden also not dependable. I like Chris Paul and Booker, definitely clutch. Jay Crowder too, your guy. But I don't know. I don't know about
I miss Jay Crowder. About
Phoenix. I do too. I miss him for you. He was great on the Heat.
I also miss Kelly Olynyk.
Oh, yes. But he's in Houston now. He's in the garbage dump right now.
Yes.
It's okay.
Yes. Back to the Suns. You know, there was talks originally that the perfect fit for LaMarcus Aldridge was going to be Phoenix.
Really?
Yeah, to back up Ayton and give, you know, valuable backup minutes.
Mm.
I think that would have bolstered their roster.
Yeah.
He would have contributed more to the Suns than he would to the Nets.
Did you hear Bill Simmons' proposed trade between Ayton and Karl Anthony Towns? Like, if they just switch spots, how better those teams would be? Right? Wouldn't that make sense, though? That'd be crazy. He's Chris really Paul, Devin Booker, and then Kat. Oh, my goodness.
He's really good at that. Bill's really good at coming up with, like, trade scenarios.
He is good at that. I'll give him that.
Like, he actually, because he's a Boston guy, you know, so he actually came up with a few for Boston. Like, for example, he was like, okay, I'll give you, you know, this player and this player for Lauri Markkanen from the Chicago Bulls.
Lauri Markkanen.
And he feels that, yeah. He feels that Brad Stevens can unlock him.
Yeah.
You know, imagine like a big man that has range like that. Like, he's kind of like I don't even know who he's like.
Wait. Like, Side question for you, though. Okay. Do you think, after all of this, Brad Stevens is a good coach? Or is overrated, rather?
I don't think he's overrated. I mean, look what he's done for the past 4 years. I know a lot of people in Boston kind of want him
out. Could win a chip, though.
But I mean,
could win a chip.
Look what he's working with, though. Look what he's working with. You know who I blame? I blame upper management. I blame, you know, Danny Ainge. They missed on key players in drafts. Of course, they drafted really well when it came to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. But I feel like they missed out on certain players. Like, you know, they went for Romeo Langford when they could have had Tyler Hero. You know what I mean? There's been a couple instances. No, but
he's on your team now. It's all good.
Exactly. But I mean, like, even going way back, you know, there's a point in time where they could have had Dirk Nowitzki. You know, there was a point in time when they had Chauncey Billups before Chauncey Billups was, you know, on the Pistons. And things just didn't work out there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I feel like they definitely missed out. If you look at a lot of the players that have left Boston, they've thrived. Look at Gordon Hayward, you know, prior to his injury. Look at Scary Terry.
You
know, all guys that producing.
Both on the Hornets.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't think he's a bad coach. For what he has, they could easily be out of, like, play-in contention. When you look at their roster.
You said out of. Okay.
Out of. Like, they could be 10th or worse, in my opinion.
Even though they have two All-Stars. It could be out of playing contention.
It's you need more than just that. And we've seen that. We saw that last year. We saw that last year with this team. They weren't deep enough. You know, Gordon, granted, he was injured. Kemba with the knee injury. But who replaces them when they come off? I think they upgraded in that sense by picking up Evan Fournier. I think he does help.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like, you need, like, look at their big man situation. You let go of Daniel Tice. Now you have Time Lord and you have Grant Williams. You know, like, you got you got Mo Wagner, you got, you know, Cornette. I understand that you still got Taco, but, you know, here's another example of the brilliance of Bill Simmons. He was saying the Celtics could propose a trade with the Kings for one of two Harrison scenarios. Barnes? You could trade, Harrison Barnes, who would definitely help that roster out. Or even a Buddy Hield, somebody that could create his own shot and let him shoot all night long.
Ooh.
And I think both scenarios, it makes you think, you're like, wait, that's kind of smart. And if I'm not mistaken, you know, prior to the trade deadline and even trade rumors, he was the first one I heard who was really heavily recruiting Nikola Vucevic. Like, he was like, he would fit perfectly in Boston. I thought that was interesting too.
Yeah.
Man, Bill's just awesome with stuff like that. He's just, I don't get it.
He's great.
I don't know how he comes up with this stuff. Yeah. Podfather. But to wrap up, you know, our hot take segment, I wanted to ask you, kind of going back to, it could be anything from NBA, college basketball, whatever. My question to you is, who is your beast of the week? Who balled out this past week?
Oh, man. I mean, it would have been Jalen Suggs had he not flopped in the championship game. But honestly, in the NBA, I would choose, man, it's tough. Probably just Kyrie. I mean, he currently is like so fun to watch, bro. I'm telling you, like, I saw him yesterday against the Knicks. My goodness, like, he just, I don't know, he's just so fun to watch.
Clutch, the double clutch layup that he had,
yes,
over the two defenders.
His left hand,
left-handed,
and his just ball handling skills. Just better than Steph Curry.
Damn. Oh man. I do not
know. Oh man. Yes.
I mean, your boy LeBron supposedly is recruiting him, so I don't know if he's all that bad of a player if LeBron's recruiting him.
Wait. I have one last question for you before you answer your question, you know, yourself. But
sure.
Do you find the NBA, you know, still amusing with LeBron not playing? Or is it kind of like a watered down version, or kind of like a not as exciting as it used to be with LeBron, you know, not playing?
For me personally, I feel like I don't mind it. We saw him when he missed his first year with the Lakers. You know, he was shut down for that whole half of the season.
Yeah.
I think I don't mind it because I know he's going to be back. You know what I mean? Like, he wants to be back and he will be back.
Okay.
It's not like he was going to, when he missed the whole season, it was sad because who knows what he could have done with that Lakers team. Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Rajon Rondo, like that team would have been nasty if LeBron stayed healthy. Who knows? Like, you could have seen the growth right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like with Steph Curry was out, like, everybody missed the Warriors, you know, last season. You know, it's just different. It's because we knew they were going to be out the whole season.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, like, I think NBA is fine because we know that, you know, the King is going to be back. He'll be fine.
It's not the same.
What's not the same is my Miami Heat keep losing. They just lost to the Memphis Grizzlies by 12 points. I don't understand it. It's extremely frustrating. And they have another West Coast swing. They're going to be away for 5 games. I don't like it.
What happened?
I thought
Depot would solve all your problems, man. What happened?
No, I knew we needed another piece. That's why I wanted LaMarcus. We need something. Or keep Kelly. Give me Kelly Olynyk back.
Oh, my goodness. You didn't want LaMarcus at first. Exposed.
No, I did
Cotton
want him.
4K. Oh, you didn't want him. Want him. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Okay, all right.
But when he signed with Brooklyn, I was like, never mind. I don't want him. He doesn't have heat culture in him. You know who does possess heat culture? My beasts of the week who balled out. First, foremost, Paige Bueckers, just because I'm a huge fan.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Aryan McDonald.
Yes.
You know, the Arizona represent. And the player that's grown on me personally, that I've come to love, mainly because of his awesome celebration with his Fu Manchu to the fans, Gonzaga's Drew Timmy.
Timmy! Yes. Your lookalike.
Oh, no. I had to shave mine.
Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. It's Duncan Robinson. Sorry, that should look like right there. That's your twin right there. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
But with that, is there anything we left out? Anything you want to add?
I'm all good. Lawrence, I miss you. That's it.
Lawrence, it's mutual. We all miss you, bro. But Lawrence will be with us next week. Next week, we're going to get into Space Jam talk.
Ooh.
Among other things. So get ready for that. But until then, everybody stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll catch you guys next time.
This has been a Fuse Podcast original produced by yours truly, Nat, with music by Johnny C.